it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. A man critically injured in a South Wichita shooting. We have the story.
Conservative activist Charlie Kirk shot and killed. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
A school in West Wichita was placed on a temporary lockdown over a nearby shooting. I'm Dan O'Neill.
I'm Rodney Price. It's Suicide Awareness Week and month in the county. We have an important phone number to remember if someone you know is in crisis. We'll share it coming up.
President Trump is mourning the death of Charlie Kirk, killed in a shooting during a campaign political event.
President Trump has ordered flags to fly at half-staff through the weekend in memory of Charlie Kirk, the influential conservative activist killed at a Utah college yesterday. In a statement, the president said no one understood or had the heart of the youth in the U.S. better than Charlie. Kirk's organization, Turning Point USA, was instrumental in registering students to vote and organizing campus events. Former President Biden said he and former First Lady Jill Biden are praying for Charlie Kirk's family and loved ones, writing there is no place in our country for this kind of violence. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Police are looking for a person of interest in connection to a shooting last night in North Wichita. At about 10:30, officers were called to the 1,000 block of North Emporia, finding a man in his 50s with a wound to his body. He was hospitalized in critical condition.
A Wichita high school was placed on temporary lockdown after shots were fired at a nearby Quick Trip.
It happened just after 12:30 Wednesday afternoon near 13th and Tyler. Police say it began as a disturbance between two high school girls and an unidentified boy inside of the store over a Facebook Marketplace deal. The disturbance moved into the parking lot, where the boy fired several shots before leaving in a vehicle. There were no injuries. Northwest High was placed on lockdown as a precaution. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
At yesterday's Sedgwick County Commission meeting, the board learned some numbers about suicide in the nation.
In 2024, 92 residents in the county took their lives, a slight decrease from 2023, and the lowest rate in 10 years. Men make up the majority of deaths, and half of suicide deaths had a known history of mental illness, typically depression. Dr. Nicole Klaus, associate professor at KU Med, says there's an important number to remember if someone is in crisis.
If you know somebody who's showing some of those signs resources that we can connect you to are all available by calling 988. It doesn't have to be you that's in crisis. You can call for somebody else, and they will connect you to those resources.
ComCare answered around 39,000 crisis calls in 2024. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Every 11 minutes, someone in the United States takes their own life.
The man who killed John Lennon outside his New York City apartment, Mark David Chapman, has been denied parole again.
The gunman appeared before a parole board in New York on August 27th. The decision to deny his parole for the 14th time was recently posted online by the Department of Corrections and Community Supervision. John Lennon was shot to death the night of December 8th, 1980, as he was returning home after a recording session. Earlier, he had signed an autograph for the killer on a copy of his just-released album Double Fantasy. He was arrested within minutes and is serving 20 years to life at Greenhaven Correctional Facility, north of New York City. His next parole hearing is in February 2027. In New York, Lee Silicera, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:04, 4 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Trying to chase those playoff spots. We'll see what happened last night for the Royals in the wind surge. Coming up in sports.
Boeing has reached a tentative deal with its workers on strike in Missouri. That story and more coming up on the KNSS Morning News. KNSS News Time now, 7:07, 7 minutes past 7 o'clock. Boeing has reached a tentative deal with its workers on strike in Missouri.
More than 3,000 members of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, District 837, went on strike in early August across three Boeing plants in the St. Louis area. Boeing says this new deal, on average, would give those workers a 45% raise over the next 5 years. It would also restore signing bonuses and give many workers more paid time off and sick leave. But not all on-strike workers feel this deal is fair. Assembly mechanic Clifford Wachter says the deal offers minimal benefits to longer tenured employees like him and says it's not much different than the offer the union already turned down. Union workers are expected to vote on this proposal on Friday. Max Deeknight, Fox News.
Former Senator Bob Menendez's wife, Nadine, is set to be sentenced for corruption charges.
Mrs. Menendez will be sentenced by a federal judge. The 58-year-old and her husband, former Senator Bob Menendez, were found guilty of taking part in a scheme of using his political power for bribes that rewarded them hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash and gold bars. Mr. Menendez is serving an 11-year prison term for his role, resigning from the Senate after being convicted of extortion, conspiracy, obstruction of justice, and acting as a foreign agent. Mrs. Menendez was convicted of the same corruption charges in April. Prosecutors asking for her to be sentenced to at least 7 years, while her attorneys have asked for a sentence of 1 year and a day, citing in part her breast cancer diagnosis, arguing a lengthy sentence would prevent her from receiving proper treatment. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Remembering the victims of 9/11 and the heroes of Flight 93.
46 minutes into a flight from Newark to San Francisco, aboard United Flight 93. The pilots killed.
United 93, you're here, Cleveland Center.
The Boeing 757 diverted east toward the U.S. Capitol in control of Al-Qaeda terrorists, who were later confronted in a passenger fight back. The last radio transmission, 10:03 a.m., as Flight 93 nosedived into a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where a memorial now stands for all 40 passengers and crew members, many of whom saved a lot of other lives. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
And thousands of people across the United States are marking September 11th by giving back.
The National 9/11 Day of Service is bringing people together with the goal of packing 9 million meals for the hungry. 2 million of those will be packed by volunteers at the Intrepid Museum in New York City. Janine Miller is with the nonprofit New York Cares and says everyone who comes out to help has their own why.
I know 9/11 Day, it has various meanings for everyone across the globe, especially in New York, so this is very emotional. However, you can tap into a therapeutic sense, and I think volunteering gives you that opportunity.
9/11 Day has distributed more than 17 million meals since the program began in 2016. Find out more at 911day.org. In New York City, Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:11, 11 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Right now in the Wichita area, well, the things in traffic are okay. Those traffic volumes are really picking up out there. We do have the report of a trash fire on South Ridge Road. You want to watch out for this. 400 block South Ridge Road, so not too far away from Kellogg there on Ridge Road. We've got the report there of a trash fire, so watch out for that. Traffic update from 98.7, 1330 KNSS in the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jad Chambers.
Now the Storm Team 12 Chief Meteorologist, Ross Jansen. Good morning, Ross.
Well, good morning to you, Steve and Ted. I hope you're ready for some late summer weather, because here we go.
Oh, sounds great.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be warming up. In fact, today is going to be the warmest day that we've had in almost 20 days. So think about that for a while, because August 22nd was our last time that we warmed up into the 90s. And since then, we've been on this over 2 week stretch of high temperatures that have been cooler than average. So 19 days and counting with highs below normal. Today we changed that. In case you've forgotten, our average high right now is 86. We're thinking 89 later on today. And it's a breezy and warm finish to this year's Kansas State Fair. Drying out those parking lots is much easier if you've got a wind out of the south, and that's what we're going to have today. Probably see some gusts up to around 25 miles an hour. And a steady south breeze tonight, the low 66. Kind of breezy again on Friday. High school football games tomorrow evening will be much warmer than they were last week when it was raining. 89 for the high tomorrow, and we'll still be close to 90 degrees on Saturday. Right now, the next chance that we might see a few scattered storms would be arriving on Sunday, but probably toward the tail end of the day. So we've got several days here where we'll have some dry weather and a little bit of a breeze maybe to dry up some of those puddles. 66 this morning in Wichita. That's your Storm Team 12 forecast. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen.
The tree that I have in our front yard, which is what, about 5-6 years old, I guess. Anyway, it's a beautiful tree. It's already starting to change leaves just a little bit. And I'm seeing that on some of the trees around town. Should we look for that in the next few days? See that more of that coming on?
I think we're going to have some beautiful fall color this year. We're probably just starting to see the earliest signs, but a lot of that, of course, I think it's mostly driven by the length of day. But then, of course, our cool nights have helped out a little bit too. I don't know. I'm thinking that some of that fall color is just early. I don't know that we'll see too much more in the next couple weeks, but there is another cool blast of air that's coming up, and it will likely be arriving as we approach the end of September, and that will likely bring on the real start of some fall color. But yeah, I've seen a couple of trees too. You're just starting to see a few yellow leaves out there, and it's exciting. I mean, fall's a good time.
That's it. All right. Thank you for being with us as always. Storm Team 12 Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen, Steve and Ted in the morning here. Yesterday's high temperature in Wichita, 84 degrees, normal high 86. And it was on this date in 1961, Category 5 Hurricane Carla battered the central Texas coast with sustained winds that reached around 175 miles per hour. Some areas were overwhelmed by around 16 inches of rain. In addition, Carla spawned the most powerful hurricane-related tornado on record. It was an F4 swept across Galveston Island, and that twister killed 8 and injured 55. So, Hurricane Carla, 1961. All right, let's see. On this date, 58 years ago, 1967, the Carol Burnett Show premiered. It ran for 11 seasons and won 25 Primetime Emmy Awards. And, of course,
I was a week and a half old.
You didn't see the premiere then, huh? But it had some very funny moments there. And a lot of times it was, some people would crack up and they'd just stay on camera and let it go. It's fun to watch them crack up.
As a kid, I watched it every week growing up.
Yeah, it was Tim Conway, right?
Mm-hmm.
The little guy who was, he just cracked them all up. And then he would kind of smirk and
whatnot. You know, as a kid, I didn't get Tim Conway.
Yeah.
When you're an adult, you understand how intricate and funny his physical comedy was. As a kid, I was like, I don't see what's so funny.
And then
when you get older, you're like, oh, okay, I get it.
And if you're in broadcasting and you're responsible to being on air and doing certain things and somebody's annoying you, like, yeah, you get it. Harry Connick Jr. is 58 years old today. Crooner and former American Idol judge. And Stephen Ted.
Saw him perform in Salina.
Oh, did you?
Several years ago.
Yeah.
At the Stiefel Theater. It was a fun evening.
If you,
He was, at that time, Spangles was doing their peanut butter and jelly burger. And he was mystified by that.
Really?
Yeah, he could not wrap his mind around what was going on with Spangles.
That's a little...
And the peanut butter and jelly gourmet supreme.
A little outrageous, yes. And if you're just tuning in this morning, we all, especially in the broadcasting business, mourning the passing of Bucky Walters, who has died, what was it, 83 years old?
86.
Then? 86.
Wichita legend.
Yeah, he passed away yesterday. As Ted said, he's been in not very good health for quite a while. What a treasure he was every time he, at the Gridiron Show, every time he came on. But I watched some of his dance moves, and they were incredible. They were so
funny stuff.
he could get me going.
I could make you laugh.
He could. It's a beautiful legacy to leave behind.
It sure is, isn't it?
You think about a guy and say, you know, he brought a lot of laughter and fun to people's lives.
Yep.
I admire
that. Bless his heart.
He was a good guy, too. We always had fun.
Oh, yeah.
Always had a ball.
Salt of the earth. Love him.
717 now, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Let's take a look at sports this morning now with Ted Woodward, sir.
All right, we'll start with Major League Baseball. The Kansas City Royals on the road in Cleveland last night. The Royals have not been able to score runs in this series, losing the first two games. Last night, it's kind of more of the same. The Royals were down 3-2 heading into the seventh inning. were able to get a rally going, and that started to turn things around. You heard the game last night on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Here it comes. Swing and a liner deep to left field. Kwan back. Kwan looking up is going to be off the fence. Into score comes Lofton, into second with a double, and an RBI is Michael Garcia, and the Royals lead it 4-3 here in the seventh inning. A liner off the fence in left field over the head of Stephen Kwan, and Garcia drives in his 68th run of the year with his 36th double of the year.
Nice to get two runs there before the seventh inning stretch, and then the Royals bullpen finished it up. Cleveland got zero runs in the final five innings against the Royals bullpen. And Kansas City won that game 4-3, snapping a three-game losing streak. But you can't make up ground when the team that you're chasing keeps winning. Seattle now has won five in a row. The Royals are still four games behind the Mariners for a playoff spot. There's only 16 games to go in the season. KC at Cleveland again tonight to wrap up a four-game series. Minor League Baseball, the Wichita Wind Surge, same deal, trying to track down a final playoff spot at the end of the season. The Wind Surge in Corpus Christi taking on the Hooks. It did not look good for Wichita last night. Down 1-0 with two outs in the top of the ninth inning. Down to your last out. Then second baseman Harry Gent hit the game-tying home run. And then after that, Wichita got a two-out walk, an infield single, and then another single by Ricardo Olivar drove in the go-ahead run, and Wichita goes on to win it 2-1. Woo! At Whataburger Field last night. That's now three wins in a row for the Surge. And Tulsa lost. So now Wichita is one game behind Tulsa for a playoff spot with four games to go in the season. 6:35 this evening, Wichita again at Corpus Christi. We've got football to talk about, K-State football. You want to know what's going on with the Wildcats? The weekly edition of the K-State Chris Kleiman radio show with the head coach, 6 o'clock tonight. That's on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. K-State coming off that loss to Army and a short week. Next up, tomorrow night already. K-State is at Arizona on a Friday night. So a lot to talk about with Coach Kleiman tonight. That's at 6 o'clock on KFH. Then after that, we'll go to the Royals game at 7 o'clock over on KFH. Thursday night football. We're already into week two at the National Football League. It's in the not yet frozen tundra of Lambeau Field as the Green Bay Packers are hosting Washington. Both teams are 1-0. Packers are favored by 3.5 points. 6:30 tonight, coverage begins for Thursday night football, and that is right here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. All right, next summer we got the World Cup coming to North America. Arrowhead Stadium is one of the venues, but there's somebody out there that says it's too expensive. We need less expensive tickets for the people.
He has a goal in mind. New York Democratic Socialist candidate for mayor Zoran Mamdani is calling on soccer's global governing body to make it cheaper for New Yorkers to attend the World Cup. Mamdani is demanding FIFA reverse its variable pricing plan for next year's tournament, likening it to price gouging. He wants 15% of tickets to be set aside at discounted prices for residents. The tournament will be played across 16 cities in North America. For now, tickets will start at $60 for group stage matches and increase to over $6,700 for the final, which will be at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey near New York. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
JUCO Volleyball, back-to-back national champs. Cowley College ranked number one in the nation. Another sweep, winning at Independence last night. Cowley now 7-0, all sweeps. And Cowley has won 88 straight matches.
88?
88 in a row.
Man.
Mow through another opponent.
Wow.
Happy birthday today to a key member of the World Series champion Kansas City Royals. Mike Moustakas is 37 today. He was the number two overall draft pick by the Kansas City Royals back in 2007. Of course, three-time All-Star. And was the starting third baseman for the Royals on their World Series championship team 10 years ago. Royals third baseman, Mike Moustakas, it's his birthday, he's 37 today. That's sports brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring a hot link sandwich. Split, seared, and served in a split top bun with chips and a drink for only $9.
Ooh, boy.
Perfect for lunch.
Yeah.
Hot link sandwich, now available at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here.
722 now. Keep it here for House Call for Health. Nearly 2.5 decades after the 9/11 terror attack, victims are still suffering with health implications. That's coming up with Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS.
This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh. Ted Woodward, 7:30 on this Thursday morning. 64 degrees. Members of both parties are speaking out against the assassination of conservative activist and Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk. Fox's Marianne Rafferty has more.
Republicans are sounding off about attempts to silence opposing views, which they say leads to violence like this. And Texas Congressman Chip Roy saying Kirk constantly tried to engage, especially with those who disagreed with him. Democratic leaders also coming out strong against violence and sending condolences to Kirk's young family. Former President Obama saying, "We don't yet know what motivated the person who shot and killed Charlie Kirk, but this kind of despicable violence has no place in our democracy." And California Governor Gavin Newsom says Charlie Kirk's murder is sick and reprehensible, and our thoughts are with his family, children, and loved ones.
Officials are still searching for the shooter.
A woman has been charged with two counts of involuntary manslaughter while driving under the influence.
80-year-old Chloe McLaughlin of Augusta is accused in the deaths of 42-year-old Lachey Bell and 25-year-old Anaya Bell at Central and Webb in East Wichita on August 30th. McLaughlin was traveling eastbound on Central when the vehicle she was driving collided with two vehicles traveling southbound on Webb. McLaughlin has posted a $100,000 bond and is scheduled to appear in court on September 15th. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
The Hutchinson Police Department has arrested a Sedgwick County Sheriff's detention deputy on suspicion of sexual exploitation of a child. The 31-year-old man booked into the Reno County Jail Tuesday, where he remains in custody. The Sedgwick County Sheriff's Office says he has been placed on administrative leave pending the outcome of the investigation.
The mayor of New Orleans pleading not guilty to corruption charges.
Democrat LaToya Cantrell's plea stems from an alleged romantic relationship with her bodyguard. Prosecutors say she and Jeffrey Vappi concealed an affair while they both traveled and wined and dined together on the taxpayer's dime. Cantrell was slapped with conspiracy, fraud, obstruction, and other charges. She's the first New Orleans mayor to be charged while in office. Chris DeMeo, Fox News.
It is a tragic chain of events that our nation has not forgotten. Over the last 24 years,
four planes piloted by terrorists sought out definitive targets to scar a nation. At 8:46 a.m., the North Tower of the World Trade Center was hit by American Airlines Flight 11. 9:03 a.m., United Flight 175 struck its twin, the South Tower. The Pentagon in Washington was hit by American Air Flight 77 at 9:37 a.m. Back in New York City, the South World Trade Tower collapsed at 9:59. 10:03, another hijacked plane, United Flight 93, crashed in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. At 10:28 a.m., World Trade's North Tower was last to fall. Nearly 3,000 dead on one day America will long remember. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
And now look at the forecast with meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Mostly sunny, breezy, and much warmer today. We'll see a high of 89 with a south wind, 15 to 25 and gusty. Increasing clouds and 66 tonight. Clouds, maybe a sprinkle early Friday morning. Otherwise, mostly sunny, breezy, and hot. A high of 91, about the same on Saturday. Could see a few storms on Sunday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
And now partly cloudy, 64 degrees. And we have a southeast wind at 6 miles per hour at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Google says searches for pumpkin spice just hit an all-time high. They always peak in September, but we're searching for pumpkin spice stuff more than ever, it looks like. Searches for pumpkin spice near me also hit an all-time high. Florida and New Mexico are Googling it the most. They looked at some of the top pumpkin spice products they've been searching for over the past month. Top trending products overall are pumpkin spice floor cleaner.
Okay.
Toilet paper.
Oh, no.
Trash bags, lotion, and pumpkin spice brooms. There you go.
Okay.
Pumpkin spice. I'm not sure what that's all about.
I've got a question to ask both of you. It's been my experience, and all the different people I know, and, you know, whether I know their pumpkin spice tolerance or not,
more people don't like it than do, in just my own experience. What about you guys?
I'm not even sure I know what it is.
I don't know. Before it became a thing, I don't think I...
Is it a fragrance?
But now that it's pervasive.
Yeah. Is it a fragrance, Dad?
Well, it's anything.
Yeah.
Could be food. Obviously. It could be product.
Could be toilet paper, apparently.
Could be toilet paper. Yeah. I don't have any feelings about it one way or the other. Nobody I know has ever mentioned it to me.
You,
except
Dad?
You.
Yeah. Like I said, just about everybody I know kind of has a negative. I know one person that really loves pumpkin spice stuff. And everybody else is like, you're weird.
Okay.
You know what I like? A good piece of pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving.
Pumpkin pie?
Now I'm on board with that.
Plenty of whipped cream.
Yeah, I don't really like that either. So.
Okay. 7:35, Stephen Ted in the morning here on KNSS. And, of course, it is 24 years ago, September 11th, 2001. And it's amazing, Ted, to think about that. You and I were already underwater, second or third year doing the morning show at that time. But all of my grandkids have been born since then.
After then.
My daughter on this date, she always goes back and watches videos and stuff, and she's into it. Because, you know, she was a young person when this happened, and it's the last time our country was really challenged. And there you go. It's interesting that, 17 out of the 18 terrorists were Saudi Arabians, and we never had any problem with Saudi Arabia at all over this whole thing. Yes, we couldn't blame the Shah.
Members continue to try to sue the Saudis and get some sort of recourse, but it seems like it just drags on out.
Okay, remember that day that was were we wrapping up the show, or we'd already wrapped up the show? I don't remember. You remember the time?
No, it was during the show.
During the show.
We saw this.
We had video. We were seeing TV of smoke coming out of the. I think we mentioned it. A plane is currently.
And the first report that came out was that it was a small plane.
Yeah, we thought it was.
That was the first thing that we said.
Yeah.
And of course, that report was wrong.
And then the wheels began to come off, and we spent a long, long day updating our listeners on what was going on there. As I recall, there was some fear that there was going to be some gas hoarding, and maybe some problems physically. I mean, some violence over the pumps.
That happened late in the afternoon,
yeah.
And some gasoline stations did start charging $8, $9, $12 a gallon, and people were panicking.
Yeah.
And
we didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, it finally calmed down a little bit, but you know, all the flights were canceled all across the country. And my story is as quickly as that Shelley and I had been down on Labor Day, had been down to visit my son Scott, who's in the Air Force, but at that time was stationed at Fort Hood in Texas, which is an Army base. It's the biggest military installation in the entire world. But we went down and we visited, and it's Sunday afternoon. And I said, well, let's go on the base. So we went, and we pulled up, and Scott flashed his card, and, you know, went, and we went. No problem. And I didn't think about it much, but then after we got home and after all this happened, I called Scott the next day after. And I said, what's anything different? He said, yeah. He says, for one thing, he said, it took me 90 minutes to even get on the base today because they had those little mirrors going under everybody's car, even the personnel. And he said, we got nothing but barbed wire and dogs from far as the eye can see. Things just changed dramatically at the base. And McConnell, as you know, right?
Yeah, the day before, on September 10th, I covered a press conference at McConnell.
Yeah, what was that about?
It was Senator Pat Roberts was there doing some sort of a press briefing.
Yeah.
And I pulled up to cover at the base, and they just waved me on in.
Yeah.
And 24 hours later, it was, the world had changed.
The kids.
And of course, I always remember Pat Roberts as somebody that throughout the entire 1990s, every time he did something, he kept saying,
an interview, yeah.
He said, you know, we are going to be the victims of
something big,
attack. Yeah. Something's going to happen to us. We better be ready. And everybody ignored him.
Well, Pat
everybody was like, Pat Roberts. Blah, blah.
Pat was a Marine. Wasn't he on the intelligence committee?
He was on the intelligence committee. He knew
everything.
Something was brewing somewhere.
Well, they'd already hit the Trade Center.
Yeah, they had.
In the basement or the parking garage, a couple of years before that or sometime before that.
It was in the mid-90s.
Yeah. And Senator Roberts, yeah, you're right. He knew what was
Pat
coming.
Pat Roberts would say that, and people would just, no, whatever. He was right.
He was right, of course. Yep. And I think about the fact that, you know, just, as I said, something as much has changed going to the ball game the other night, okay? And this is not related to, apparently, to 9-11, but, you know, the security, you have to go security. Every place you go, there's security. They wave a wand over. You have to step through the, you know. That wasn't there before that. And if the TSA had not been invented, so you didn't have to do any of that stuff for the bags and all that. But
Homeland Security Department had not been invented.
Yeah. You know, the President Bush at that time was, I think it was in Waco or someplace. Somewhere he's going to school. And he was just reading to kids or something, and there's great video of somebody coming up and whispering in his ear what was going on. And the look on his face is, whoa. He heard there was something big. And then, of course, he showed some real leadership, I thought, in the whole thing, President Bush. I was never a big fan of his, but I thought he did well. And also Rudy Giuliani in New York, who was mayor at the time, that was his shining moment.
It sure was.
But, yeah, so there you go. And then we celebrated and recognized the courage of the first responders and the firefighters who, when there's something going on, they don't run the other way. They go toward the blaze and toward the sound of the guns. And so many, many heroes on that day in New York and over in Pennsylvania as well, and the Pentagon. And coming up here next few minutes, I'll tell you a little Pentagon story that we've shared on the air several times over the years. But 9-11, today we're remembering, and it's 7:41. Oh, what you got, Chad?
Something in traffic.
Yes,
this
sir.
Is going on in Plainview right now. We do have the report of a building fire. Now crews are actually saying they're going defensive on this. This is in the Plainview area. It's on South Davidson Street. The area, for those of you who might be around that and might be seeing these fire crews, it's north of 31st Street South between Hillside and Oliver.
Okay, and you think it's a building, not necessarily a house or anything like that, then?
It was described as a building fire. Okay. There are basically just residences there, though, so I'm assuming it's a house fire.
All right, 7:42 now, Steve and Ted in the morning. Local developer sues the city of Wichita. Kirk Seminoff on the way with the Wichita Business Journal update. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Steve and Ted in the morning, KNSS, 7:46 now. Three big things. Sedgwick County Commissioners hear sobering stats during Suicide Awareness Day. A man critically injured in a South Wichita shooting. Police are looking for a person of interest. Conservative activist Charlie Kirk shot and killed on a college campus in Utah. A hunt for the shooter is underway. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Right now in traffic, we've got some heavy traffic causing a big problem eastbound on Kellogg right now. And that is, of course, the construction at the Central Business District. That backup goes all the way back, almost all the way to West Street at this point. Just some heavy traffic and road construction causing that. And it's not much better westbound. That backup goes back to almost to Oliver. And watch out if you're trying to exit onto westbound Kellogg from I-135. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. In the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, I'm Jad Chambers.
Sunny today with a high of 89 degrees. That's going to be about 10 degrees warmer than yesterday. Yesterday's high was 79 here in Wichita. Mostly clear tonight. The overnight low 67. And for Friday, sunny and warm. Tomorrow's high, 91 degrees. Now partly cloudy. Southeast wind at 6 miles per hour. 64 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. A mixed close on the markets Wednesday.
A surge in shares of Oracle, which said AI had fueled an astonishing quarter, led to a broader rally in AI-related stocks. Shares of Oracle rose 36% for a record high. In addition, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that OpenAI signed a contract to purchase $300 billion in computing power over roughly 5 years from Oracle. As a result of Oracle's earnings, shares of chipmakers NVIDIA, AMD, and Broadcom rallied on cloud momentum. The Dow winners, NVIDIA, Goldman Sachs, and Caterpillar, the Dow decliners, Apple, Microsoft, and Salesforce. The Dow down 220 points, the Nasdaq higher by 7, S&P 500 up 19. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Local developers sues the city of Wichita. Time for the Wichita Business Journal update now with editor Kirk Semenoff. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Steve. A third company owned by developer Suda Tokola has filed a lawsuit against the city of Wichita. This time the dispute is over an alley that runs between the AC Hotels building Tokola developed and the Kansas College of Osteopathic Medicine building Tokola developed. Those buildings are along Broadway between Douglas and William Streets. After the city renovated Chester I. Lewis Reflection Square Park and Tokola's companies were finished renovating those buildings, Tokola's Spartan Downtown LLC spent $152,000 on renovating and repaving the city-owned alleyway in April, the lawsuit says. Tokola said she had previously been assured by two employees in the city manager's office that her company would be reimbursed. But 5 months later, she says the city hasn't reimbursed her. The city told the Business Journal that it only received the lawsuit late Wednesday and hadn't had time to review it. You'll remember two other Tokola companies filed suit against the city last week, alleging restrictions and fines from the city had put a Tokola restaurant tenant out of business and created $92,000 in parking fees. Wichita developer Dave Murfin and Kansas City partner Rick Warner are in negotiations with the city of Salina on a $146 million mixed-use project that would renovate the city's struggling Central Mall using star bonds and other local state and economic incentives. Salina commissioners were enthusiastic this week after hearing a proposal that would change the 38-year-old mall on the city's south side by adding a convention center, hotel, and several retail parcels, including what Warner called a Topgolf knockoff. Salina city manager said the next step is returning to commissioners to ask him to set up a public hearing for the creation of a Star Bonds district. Star Bonds are now eligible to help redevelop struggling malls in Kansas cities of less than 60,000 people. Developers would then be required to submit a project plan, which must be approved by the city and the state. Tax increment financing, a community improvement district, a transient guest tax, and a sales tax exemption on construction materials have also been talked about for the project. And a freight company with a location in Wichita is building a new service center, this time in Bel Air. Dayton Freight Lines tells the Business Journal it will build a 14,000-square-foot warehouse and adjacent office in Sunflower Commerce Park. That's near a FedEx ground location, the former Wichita Hoops facilities, and an under-construction Amazon Last Mile building near 53rd and Webb Road. Dayton's new construction is expected to replace the existing facility on Southwest Street in Southwest Wichita. Dayton Freight has 70 service centers in 15 Midwest states. Local breaking business news every day on KNSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Semenoff.
And business brought to you by Mr. Electric, lighting up the path to your success. Did you know that we spend a third of our lives in bed? So treat your bed with the respect it deserves on National Make Your Bed Day. I confess to you that I was hit and miss as a kid. As I got older, I began to be lazy about almost everything. So by the time I was 11, I pretty much said, "Hey, Mom, why don't you do that? You got nothing else to do all day." Now my wife takes care of it for me. Of course, we arise at different times, you know.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I can't make the bed with my wife in it. So how about you? Are you a bed maker there, Kirk?
You got a built-in excuse for not making your bed now.
Oh, yeah. I got it. Like, she's my excuse for a lot of stuff. Quite a marriage there.
I'm more of a throw the comforter back towards the pillows and call it good guy.
Yeah.
That's good enough.
You know, I was watching this. I was on YouTube the other day watching this comic. I don't know who the guy was, but he had some pretty interesting things to say about marriage. He says, you know, before I was married, I didn't have a bunch of stuff on my bed, you know, like stuffed pillows and comforters. Hey, yeah, my wife's one of those. She puts a lot of stuff on the bed there. You got to move it around before you can even get in there. Anyway,
it's my. It certainly looks good once a week.
Yeah, once a week it looks great. All right, we're on a serious note of remembering 9/11. And Kirk, what are your memories? Where were you when 9/11 occurred?
You know, I was actually sick and off work that day, and I remember listening to, I think it was Bruce Hurdle and Bob Lutz had their sports radio show in the morning, and I think they had said they'd seen something happen. There was something on the TV, so I turned on the TV, and there it was. And then I remember getting down to the paper because we put out an extra edition that day.
Yeah, you had to get down there and get to work, right?
Yeah.
Any memories you want to share? Just that was pretty good, but
no, it was just a flu of activity. I remember keeping one eye on the television all day, and then remember. Well, I actually do remember the first tower coming down, and just remember, my God! And I remember walking outside for some reason, just kind of looking outside because you really weren't quite sure what was happening at that point, and just trying to make sure everything was. Yeah. Still okay around here. I don't know.
Yeah, because we didn't know how far what was going to go on. Anything could have happened all across the country. I remember, I don't know whether that day or the next afternoon, but the weather was really beautiful at that time. Maybe the next afternoon I was out sitting on the porch, in my porch swing, and just had the most incredible.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Depression come over me, and I could not understand why anybody would do that to Americans and to an American citizen.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand.
Yeah.
I guess we all grew up in a way that day. We figured out that we're not immune. All right, sir. Thank you. And we will check with you again next hour at the Wichita Business Journal Update with our editor, Kirk Sevenoff, this morning. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted. Stay with us. We'll have the latest on the killing of political activist Charlie Kirk. Ted has sports, right, Ted?
Yeah, we are about 25 minutes out from our daily, our weekly Thursday feature, Minute with Mitch. Get a little 60-second preview of the Chiefs home opener coming up on Sunday
and
afternoon.
And the Eagles, right?
Got Minute with Mitch in 25 minutes.
Plus, how about entertainment news? The Blur's coming, too.
Yes, entertainment news in the Blur. We got some very interesting items to talk about in the Blur, including a well-known British author and where his final resting place is.
Okay.
I find it interesting. That's coming up in entertainment news in the Blur at 8:35.
And we have traffic and weather in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And
you're
seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.